talk. Make your life fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, and mother of two.
Hi.
And whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I am talking to you about life, sex, relationships, even parenting sometimes. And today we're kind of talking about...
What was the second one in that list?
Well, there's life, there's sex.
Oh, that's the one.
That's the one. There's relationships and sometimes parenting.
Hell, that
But stuff. That's actually probably last week's episode. But today we're talking about just kind of bummer adult shit, right?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's kind of an intense topic today. So
yeah.
So we're just going to try this. Like, Todd's here. He's got some shit to talk about.
I guess I do.
And I'm just going to be his pal, Sophie, the life coach, and listen to what happened.
Okay.
What happened? Tell me. Oh, and I'm not going to bump the table.
Oh, yeah. We can't do that.
Okay.
Let me do a little preamble, though.
Okay.
Because part of the reason that this thing has got my head in a tailspin is other things.
Okay.
That led up to it. For me, personally. I'm not going to use names because of these famous people. Because I have in the past in social media, and I realize in retrospect that was a knee-jerk reaction, emotional reaction to these things. But recently, a famous actor paid out some accusers of his, paid them off.
Okay.
He was alleged of doing sex, Predatory sexual behavior.
Crimes. Okay, got it. Behavior. And he paid everybody off.
And he paid a couple people off. And there were some articles about it, but this was kind of all came out around, award season.
Oh, okay.
Because he's that,
yeah, I think
successful.
I remember. Yeah.
And I just had this reaction where I felt like most of the dialogue was about other issues because the award season now has become this issue generator.
Yes. Whereas it's in very political.
Back in the 70s, when Brando sent a Native American woman to accept an award for it, you didn't do that. You kept your politics away from the awards.
Right.
But now it seems like they encourage it because it boosts their ratings.
Okay.
To have everybody be political and start stuff. So that was happening, but there was very little conversation about this other thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that irked me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not to diminish any of the other issues that were brought up, but it bothered me that, that issues was such a quiet one.
Well, and especially if it's, where politics is a much, much, that's the larger stage, the bigger stage. Nobody's going to ever stop talking about that.
Right.
It has its voice, essentially. And if this is actually somebody who's famous and involved and in this industry, and that's what we're all watching, then maybe there should have been a little more focus on that. Maybe we should have paid attention.
Yeah, it was just the dialogue. But then I have a friend who, got mad at me, for probably because he's a fan of the guy.
Okay.
But he brought up, there's a guy I know you're a fan of. And a few years ago, there were allegations about him. And I'm like, you're right.
Okay.
And I personally, I kind of didn't make as big a deal out of that in my head as I did this.
Right.
Because I'm not as much of a fan as this more recent guy's thing.
Okay.
But then there's also the issue, and my friend's point, which I think is valid, is also, and a lot of people, I think, on the left might jump to use somebody famous as the example of this problem.
Right.
Where these are allegations and there was no trial and no criminal charges were filed.
Okay.
On
this most recent situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is not Roman Polanski where charges were filed
and
then he served a little time and then ran away because he realized he was going to have to serve more time. And people still defend him to this day. But I have no problem with dropping his name because there was a trial.
Right.
He was found guilty.
Yes.
End of
That's
story.
Public.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, but a lot of these other situations, the victims or, alleged victims, they don't file charges. They accept a settlement to not file charges.
Right.
And it is hush money ultimately, I think,
but it's
also completely legal.
Yeah.
And for reasons I don't understand why that is legal, but it's also weird because you can't fault a victim for making the choice to get a lot of money, I don't think, for what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend, and I don't entirely agree with him on this, gets mad at the victims for not filing charges because he says that's a disservice to society at large. And I'm like, well, but that is blaming the victim for the problem in my head.
Right, and the victim also has to weigh how much more trauma are they going to go through with filing and going through that process and potentially being bullied longer.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, there's a point at which only that person knows in their heart what happened, what the damages were, what they are going to be able to handle or not handle, what they're going to live through. And it's very hard to put a financial, like a, to quantify financially emotional distress.
Mm-hmm.
Except that you certainly can quantify it in terms of therapy, physical problems, you know, ailments that come from stress, inability to function. And those are real things. But
yeah.
Only, you know, there's a point at which we all have to live in our own integrity and decide what's real and what's not. And so, and who are we to decide that for the victim?
I agree. And putting myself in the shoes of a victim,
mm-hmm.
you know, and imagining that if I had the choice, because the other thing my friend who we got in this debate about mentioned was he sat on a jury,
mm-hmm.
Of a trial for a man who was accused of molesting children by children.
Mm.
But what it turned out was it was the kids were lying.
Oh.
But it didn't matter.
It does happen.
Yeah, it didn't matter because it destroyed this guy's life and career and everything. It was over
after
that. Just the accusation.
Yes.
But the only thing I said to him, my friend, was, well, that's comparing, because people are immediately going to believe children.
Yes.
And they're immediately going to vilify a child molester. But I think there's more evidence of sex offenders who victimize adults,
uh-huh.
who, even if they get found guilty, their careers don't die.
Yeah, no.
They do not die.
Right.
So I thought that was an unfair comparison. Of course, he got even angrier at me.
Right.
You know, because, but whatever. So, yes. So, but I do think his points were valid, except maybe, you know, for that one.
Is tragic. That is tragic.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
And I think that if a person is like he seems more, I guess my problem with his argument is he seems more concerned about potential male victims who are accused of something they didn't do.
Yes.
Like if this celebrity that I'm talking about paid off people just to make them go away, but they were crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and they were just, I mean, that is sucks, and then he's the victim. But
yeah.
I just feel like that's more rare than the other.
Yeah.
And for a victim of a sex crime, especially an adult victim
mm-hmm.
of a sex crime to come forward and file charges and try to make the world aware that this person is horrible,
mm-hmm.
They're going to get dragged through the mud.
Oh yeah.
So if I was in their shoes, and it's either I go through hell to try and make the world a better place, but knowing that, I mean, recently we've had young white guys, a couple of cases of young white guys who committed rape
on film. Yeah.
Were found guilty, were convicted, and served 3 months.
Yeah.
And then got sent out. I mean. What the hell is that?
Yeah. So why? So
that's why would
really
a victim,
discouraging to a victim to that, say I'm going to go through this process for that.
Right. And I think that's, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what people are talking about when they call this a culture of rape.
Yeah.
Or a rape culture. And I kind of agree with that, which makes me a bleeding heart liberal, I guess. But it makes reasonable, logical sense to me.
Yeah. And, you know, what people forget is that nobody has to wake up in that victim's life every day except that person. That's the only person who has to wake up every day and decide, okay, am I going to say what I needed to say? I'm going to come forward because I need to do that. And but am I going to go further? Am I going to go take this through the system? Or am I going to allow it to be on record somewhere in the world, maybe not officially,
right,
you know,
right,
but on record that I'm saying that this is what happened and this person paid me essentially to go away. And you all can just make whatever assumption you want at that point, because even with a conviction, we don't know.
Right.
People can be wrongly convicted.
Yeah, that's true.
People can be wrongly not convicted. So it's a decision to decide where is the truth. Where is the truth validated?
Yeah.
And I think as a victim, I think you get to make that decision.
I totally agree with you. Just if you do come forward and try to make it legal and try to make the world a better place, I don't think that's your responsibility. I think that is an act of heroism.
Maybe that's where the difference is, that your friend is saying that that's an act of responsibility. If you're going to come forward, then you need to come forward all the way.
Right. If you've been victimized, it's your responsibility to file charges. That's sort of what he's saying. But also, especially when you're talking with famous people, then I would say that in general, the knee-jerk reaction is this alleged victim is full of shit and is trying to get money out of the rich, famous person.
Right.
I think that's the knee-jerk reaction.
That is the knee-jerk reaction. However, I mean, it's not fair to say that this is just true in the entertainment industry, because it's true in insurance. It's true in, you know, restaurant work and managers and, like, whatever. There's always people that are going to exploit their position and their power. There are narcissists. There are assholes everywhere, you know. And there are good people everywhere, too. So, when somebody comes forward and says that this person did this, a lot of times that's not my knee-jerk reaction. It kind of doesn't surprise me, you know.
Yep,
they sort of come off as the kind of person who probably would exploit their position.
Yeah.
And sex is just it's right there under the surface for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe not everybody. I shouldn't make that assumption, but it is right there. And for that. For people to exploit their position in that way, for people to rationalize it and make it okay, it's so easy. It's so easy, and it's so. This is not in defense of the perpetrator. I'm just saying, it's just not that surprising to me. That's all I'm saying. That I could see how it can happen. I've had it happen. I mean, like,
sure.
You know, did I? I mean, I've had things happen that I've never told anybody about. You know, I never told people about, you know, somebody grabbing me on the street. I never, like, went over to my mom and said, this is what happened, you know, like.
Well, I think
because why? You know why? Because it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
Now I got to deal with that.
Right. No, I'm a man. I mean, I think, like, getting groped here and there is kind of an unfortunate normalcy that is that a word, normalcy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean
normality is the word. Normalcy is like the
especially if you live in certain parts of the world. I mean, in certain parts of South America, the women on the street are just like, that is just the way of life.
Yeah, if you're a woman and you get on a subway at rush hour in Japan, you're going to get groped.
Yeah, it's just
it's weird.
And it's I don't even know where to file it. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
I don't either.
But theoretically not how it's supposed to be here, let's say, in our culture. What we've said is we don't want that to be the norm. That shouldn't be okay. People should be able to have their boundaries. And to say that women can't have their boundaries says that they are lesser people. It says that they are lesser.
Right.
Just like anything else.
Right.
Whether it's, you know... That's why when children get exploited, they're powerless. They don't have the power to defend themselves. We have to say something. You know, we have to protect
them. Right, which is why people get automatically angrier at somebody who's accused of molesting a child.
Right. Yeah. And so if women who have been raised in a culture where they're, you know, technically, physically weaker or looked at as less than. I mean, it's astonishing to me what grown men today in our culture in 2000 17 will actually say about women, it's like, wow, mind-boggling.
You mean just like misogynistic?
Really, like, they have no business getting educated. Women are not intelligent. They are a lesser part of the species. And I'm like, wow, like, okay, I had no idea that you, like, really thought that. I mean, that's incredible to me.
That, like, just sounds to me, you know, like a dude who really doesn't want to get laid ever.
Well, I know. Well, and that's why their approach to getting laid is, rape is good for the guy who's doing the raping.
Right, right.
I mean, it is. You know, and it's like, makes my neck hurt. Like, I can't even.
And maybe I'm more, I mean, I was groped by a man, but I'm a man.
Yeah.
And a man who could
push him off of you, yeah.
And then threaten him with punches.
Yeah.
Until he left me alone.
Yeah.
But I, having had that, you know what I mean? Because I was at a bar in college. I was drunk. My friends had left, and I just wound up talking to this guy at the bar. Nice guy. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, the bar was closing. He's like, you want to get a beer at my place? It's right over there. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever. You're great.
This is what they say. If a woman does that, then she was asking for it.
Right.
I did that.
You did.
I asked for it.
Right.
No, I didn't.
I know you didn't.
He said, do you want a beer? I said, yeah, I was just, would love to have a beer.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have to be up in the morning. Let's have a beer. And then it, like, went south.
Yeah.
Lucky for me,
yeah,
I was his size and could face off against him.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if I wasn't, he may not have pursued it further. Because maybe he was just getting signals that were wrong, but...
Maybe he thought you were actually interested, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Except I was leaving.
Except now you're leaving.
Elevator on the way down is when he decided to do that.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa! Maybe I'm a little bit more sensitive in that way because of that.
But you just know what it's like.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what it's like.
Yeah.
When people talk about... It doesn't matter. It's that turn where somebody decided that they wanted what they wanted from you, whether you wanted it or not. It's that moment. When you experience that as a person, male or female, you will never forget it.
Yeah.
You know what it feels like. And so when people say, she was asking for it, or when women go like, well, I don't know what she thought was going to happen if she was wearing that outfit. I mean, women do it to women all the time. You know, it's like, that is the part that hurts. It's like, if I'm walking around the corner to school, am I asking, if because I chose to go behind the building and around, was I asking for the guy to come up and run up behind me and scare the shit out of me and grab my body?
Mm-hmm.
No.
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 I was not.
Yeah.
So, and actually I, in that moment, used my voice. I saw people way far ahead. I screamed. I elbowed him. And he walked away laughing. Like a dick.
Jesus.
And, you know, you just don't forget those things when they happen. And nothing happened to me. I didn't have any lasting physical damage. And I just got myself to school and went about my day.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to growing up in Los Angeles,
yeah,
people.
Jesus Christ.
I got so many stories. But I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's the absurdity of it all. It's the absurdity of it all. And I would still consider myself somebody who hasn't been raped. You know what I mean?
Right,
and like, if you probably went through a lot of my stories, you'd be like, you know, so it's just, that's just the reality. And so I think that when people say that, when people say she was asking for it, or, she, you know, this sounds so, it's not even enough to say, it's just an unfair default.
Yeah.
And so when you've experienced that moment, when you've experienced that moment of your boundary violated,
mm-hmm.
in a way that's extremely personal and intimate and violating your boundary of relationship and who you are sexually and everything in that
mm-hmm.
moment. And I mean that gay or straight. Like if I don't want a man he's violating me, my desire of what I want, who I want to be sexually,
mm-hmm.
right? That again comes down to defining our sexuality. And yeah, I love sex. That doesn't mean I want that guy that I don't want touching me. I don't want to have sex with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's really when you realize all of that's being violated and then questioned on the on the flip side, as a victim, it's like, you lose.
Yeah.
Right? So it seems to me like that's kind of where you're coming from, is that this victim is just sort of screwed either way. Like,
yeah, and
take the payout, don't take the payout.
And just to be honest, you know, I am, my whole life has been, you know, they use the phrase getting woke. I mean, I think I'm probably like maybe half woke at this point. but my whole life has been like, oh shit, you know, living in an all white suburb in Massachusetts and then going to New York and realizing in New York, oh shit, I'm kind of a racist. You know, casual racist.
Right.
And that, you know, like, because growing around, yeah, ignorance.
Yeah.
And then the same thing with these issues, you know, and those took even longer because those were certainly, as I grew up, less talked about than they are now.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've thought that, well, why would you let your daughter go to school dressed like that? You know, I've had those thoughts.
Sure.
And said those things, but now I think, well, who the fuck cares how that kid or that grown woman dresses?
They should be able to wear,
and everybody should be able to fucking control themselves, and not be horrible, and be taught
to control themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think I might have done a podcast on it. I did a whole thing on, like, I was really angry about the spaghetti strap rule at the schools. You know, the girls have to wear, like, technically 3-inch straps on their tank tops. And I'm like, okay, then you take my kid shopping. Good luck.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, because their bra strap might show or this or that. And I'm like, shoulders? Like, okay.
Yeah, we did talk about this on a podcast.
It's really upsetting. And I think that I don't think boys should, you know, if girls aren't going to show their stomachs, boys shouldn't be able to show their stomachs, you know, like, your butt shouldn't be hanging out, boy or girl, whatever, you know, if you want to have those rules, fine, but, like, this shoulder thing, it's just, oh, you got to be kidding me. But, again, and boys should be talked to, and girls should be talked to about being able to handle those things. And I understand, like, when you're dealing in an institution, you want to create rules that set it up so that you don't have to waste time talking about that. But the shaming that goes on around it is just,
yeah,
you know.
Well, and it's hard to, I think, especially when you're talking about young people and college guys and all that stuff. I mean, their hormones are out of fucking control.
They are.
And they're not thinking clearly. I mean, I know I got shit-faced on my 21st birthday on so much booze, I should be dead.
Yeah.
And said horrible things to the women. They came to my party, and I said horrible. And when I woke up... no recollection when I woke up of being that way.
Yeah.
But when I woke up and I heard that's the way I behaved, I was like, holy shit, why did I do that? What's wrong with me? And promised myself I never would again. Because that horrified me. Because I'm not one of these people who's like, well, what do you want? I was drunk, you know?
I was drunk.
But that's why that night horrified me. Right. Because I was like, it doesn't matter how fucking shit-faced I was. That stuff was in there.
Right.
So I had to figure out how to get it out.
Right.
You know, it was just eye-opening for me. But okay, so the whole reason, you know, I brought this up with you before we started recording this is this. So you know how they always say, if you know women, you know women who have been sexually assaulted on some level.
Right.
So, and I never really... crunch the numbers on this. But if that's true, then how many of the men do you know who are potentially
doing the
assaulting?
Yeah.
And this came to my attention recently about a friend that I've had for a very long time, that there are allegations about him floating around on the internet of sexual assault. And that horrified me, and because I had had this reaction to this celebrity and was using his name openly as this example of awfulness, now I know someone personally. So now I'm like, if I maintain that friendship, I'm a hypocrite, one, and two, I mean, two, I, you know, don't want to have a friendship with somebody like that, but right. Also, again, it's the gray area of, these are allegations floating around in private chat rooms, yeah. you know, within show business, and I'm hearing about it secondhand.
Right.
From a friend, but the people I'm hearing them from are very dependable people, and they're right. not the kind of people who, you know, like to throw people under the bus for the fun of it, and they're not gossip queens or whatever.
Right.
And then, you know, I think about, I mean, I've had intimate conversations with this person for almost two decades, you know, when wow. we hang out. And he knows stuff about me that a lot of people don't know. And I know stuff about him. But when I went back and I thought about some of these stories he was telling me,
uh-huh.
like he had a weird breakup and, you know, was heartbroken and was telling me stories about, you know, going to her house, knocking on the door and stuff. And I said at the time, I said, dude, okay, I know you're upset and it's sad, but you have to stop doing that because that's stalking.
Stalking, yeah.
That is stalking. And you know, he agreed with me.
Putting together pieces.
But now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, oh, like now that I've heard all these allegations are coming from other people, I'm like, does that mean he is a stalker? Like that's a system of behavior that he has, because at the time I was just like, he's just out of his mind
because of this breakup. You're thinking it's an isolated situation.
Yeah.
He's
and he just needed to hear it from a friend. Stop doing that.
Right.
But now I'm like, and you know, and since learning this, I haven't talked to him. You know, I don't want to. You know what I mean? I don't want to face him and tell him why I haven't communicated with him in a month or whatever. And I just don't know what to do. I mean, is it the kind of thing that I should aggressively say, we need to get together, we need to talk? Or is it something that I should just try to avoid him as much as possible and hopefully, you know, because they're not, these are not, he's not been convicted of anything.
Right. And you've been friends for 20 years. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, you do, you have the option of fading away and having him ask you why.
Yeah.
And then you have to decide what you're going to say.
Right.
Okay. Only you know if that's going to eat away at you or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Like yeah.
That's, and sometimes the way to deal with that, if you're just not going to approach it, is to approach it in a letter or approach it, you know, that you don't send.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you write out what you would say, what your concerns are, where you're at. You know, I care about you. This is what I've heard. I don't know where to file it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that it could be true because I know, you know, because I know this, I imagine there, it could be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you can write all of that out just for your own sake of kind of organizing the thought so that you can stop spinning.
Right.
Because the spin is what's going to eat away at you.
Right.
So you have that option. You also have the option of, you know, setting up just a hang with
yeah.
him, you know, and saying, so, you know, remember, like we talked about that issue that was going on for you with the breakup. I've heard that there's been other things, and I just want to check with you before I assume that those things are true. Why do you think somebody would say this about you?
Yeah.
And let him respond.
Right.
And see how your bullshit meter is. And you don't have to say, no, come on. You know, like, you don't have to call him on his bullshit. You can just give him an opportunity to tell you.
Yeah.
And then just see how you feel in your body about it.
Well, and there's
and that's all you can do.
What about, there's another thing too. It's like a numbers thing. You know, the famous person we were talking about earlier was like two or three people.
Yeah.
Which to me raises a red flag.
Yeah.
If he's willing to pay off even two. One is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Two is like, what? Three is like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then you have 30 and 40 with a certain famous stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Who apparently is touring again in smaller clubs.
Oh, geez.
Okay. You know, then it's like, well, that's ridiculous. That then the guy's got to be guilty. There's no way that many people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if they're not getting anything monetarily from him and
sure.
they're just coming forward. So, like, this is the allegations come from a lot, like at least 8 people.
Oh, so that's heavy. Yeah, that's like a lot. That's really hard to. So I guess, so again, so very likely your bullshit meter is going to go off if he, you know, starts to tell you. But you will have it. You will have had the opportunity to be in his space, feel that in your bones, know what it feels like. And should you decide to end that friendship, it's going to, it'll feel different to you.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like sitting with it, going, okay, this was his explanation. This is how it resonated with me. I feel okay walking from this friendship.
Right.
You know, like that would maybe help you kind of internalize it and move forward.
So I can understand why I'm breaking.
Yeah. Because right now it's kind of vapor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all vapor. And that's why I was saying, make it not vapor by writing it and at least making it here. So you don't have to keep spinning about it at night. You're like, I know that thought. I wrote it down. Like it's over here. This is how I feel about it. And should he come to me and ask me, I can read that letter. I can burn that letter. I can do whatever I want, but I know what I need to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, I think people deal with this when they find out people are, drug addicts, or they find out they have, you know, another kind of criminal record, or that you have to make a decision as to how much you want to volunteer for this person's energy in your life.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, it's like that, you know, obviously on some level this is already toxic for me.
Sure.
So he's a toxic
person. No, it's eating
at
you. I mean, you know.
So, which is, that's part of the curveball. Like, I never would have thought he was a toxic person.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, he is.
It's like finding out you're, you know, prom queen, prom king, perfect married couple for 20 years. He's been beating her or something.
Right.
You know, it's just like, what?
Right.
You know, you just don't know what's going on with people in their dark spaces.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it's like the other thing about, you know, confronting and talking in this situation is, I can't imagine that sex offenders consider themselves sex offenders any more than most racists consider themselves racist.
Of course. And that's what I mean. He's going to have an explanation. He's
going
to tell you, oh, I met her at a party and she was just pissed because I, like, ignored her. Or that girl's just mad because I went out with her friend and she did that. And like, yeah. I mean, I did that to the one girl because I was heartbroken. But once you told me not to, I didn't go back to her place. Like, you know, he's going to have an explanation for all of it, very likely.
Yeah.
It's very unlikely that he's going to go, you're right, Todd, I have a problem, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Very slim chance. And what it will do for you is put you in a space where you're with your friend and feeling the bullshit,
mm-hmm.
and feeling the lack of intimacy and the lack of trust between you.
Mm-hmm.
So you will actually know in your bones that that friendship is not any longer what you thought it was.
Right.
And then you will know while you're making that decision. Because men too, I mean, I think men are very visceral. You guys kind of need to feel things in your bones. When it's all up here in vapor, it's like, it doesn't, you know,
yeah, that's
doesn't make
point,
any sense.
Yeah.
So if that, I mean, feels like something you would want to do, it may help you in that way. It might also just help you to write it down. You know, like I would start there and then decide if you want to meet with him. Because there might, as time goes on, there might be a part of you who's like, I don't want to have him look me in the eye and tell me the bullshit story. It'll just hurt too much. Like, I don't want to experience that. There might be that feeling about it,
right.
too. And so that's where I think if you write it down and you get your thoughts around it clear, then you can make a better decision as to whether or not you actually want to talk to him about it. This is a 20-year relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you might really need some closure around it. You
sure.
might really need to know how you feel around it. But only you know that, you know?
Yeah, and I just wonder, like, when we're talking about these celebrities and stuff, because they're famous and we all know they have camps of other famous people.
Yeah.
I just wonder how many of those famous people have done that. Or is it more of a, I've known this guy for so long, I'm not going to believe any of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Have done what? You mean have actually confronted?
Like the famous people's friends.
And, like, did Michael Jackson's friends talk to him about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Did they say, Michael, come on, is this true?
What are you doing?
What is this
true?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You know? And many of them closest to him are like, you know, that's bullshit. Like, who knows? I don't know. So we'll never know.
Yeah, I know.
You know? But again, numbers. So I see what you're saying. You're saying how many of them actually confront, or how many of them just decide, I work with this person, I know this person, I love this person, I'm not going to believe it. I'm right. choosing to let that be his business.
Right. Denial or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll never know. I mean, we'll never know.
God, it's...
And it happens, but you have to remember, it's in every industry.
Yeah.
It's in every office. It's in every institution.
Yeah.
It's in, I mean, look at, you know... Look at what goes on in institutionalized abuse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Churches and schools and colleges.
And I think that's why a lot of people do that thing where when they learn this about a famous person, they use that famous person as this example, because it resonates with a lot of other people, whereas, you know, just an arbitrary person in a regular office.
Yeah.
You know, isn't going to matter as much.
Yes. And we have all of our projections that we put on that person. Like, they're so beautiful and they're so talented and they're so smart and they're, you know, and they might even be kind of a rock star and, you know, actually a hero because we've seen them save the world 14 times. It's like that person just being accused of being human and shitty it's a big deal.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
It's a betrayal on some level. It's a betrayal of that image that, you know, you've sucked me into.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of the job and that's part of the work and that's art and storytelling and that's all of, you know, that's its own thing. You know,
yeah.
We have to take responsibility for our own enjoyment of those things.
Right.
But when that person turns out to be a prick, we're like, what?
Yeah.
But you're my leading man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And you don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe it, you know?
Anecdotally, the thing I hear from when I talk about these things with, you know, people who work on crews or, you know, writers, whatever, they're the thing that I hear is, well, think about it. Because, you know, I am in the industry, so think about it. Have you ever heard a good story about that person? And generally, anecdotally, that is true.
I would say that's true. It's like the weight of all of these negative things and then on top of it, never hearing anything good.
Because there are people who you've heard stories of them behaving like assholes, not, you know, sexual assault. Like Christian Bale on the set of Batman loses his shit. But like that to me, like, I don't know why everybody made a big deal out of it. Everybody has bad days.
Sure.
And he lost his shit, but he was probably really goddamn tired and overworked. And maybe this guy was actually being a jerk and he had asked him a million times and he just lost it.
Yeah.
And just unfortunately is on mic. But you've heard that bad story, but you've also heard really good stories about Christian.
Yeah, that he's amazing to work with. And,
he visits people in Batman costumes and whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You hear the good and the bad.
Sure.
But with some of these people, a lot of them that have these multiple allegations against them, that's what I hear. I've never heard a good story about that person.
Right.
Never, not a good thing.
And that's on us to put whatever puzzle pieces together we want to put together and then make a decision, you know? So, but you have a 20-year history with this person. And I guess you'd have to kind of go back and go, where are my good stories about this person? What do I know to be true about this person? And if you start to go like, God, I'm not even sure why I've been friends with this guy for 20 years, then, you know, then you can base your future decisions on that. But I think you need to get I think you need to get this out of the vapor for yourself, like out of your head spinning, because it's like around you, and just get it contained for yourself.
Yeah.
And then you'll know if you actually want to also give that 20 years an hour and go, okay, I know how I feel. No, I know. You're bullshitting me. I'm not even going to call you on it. I'm just going to be like, that's cool, dude. And I'm going to walk away knowing that. Yeah, just knowing what you know. That's all you've got is your gut. All you have is your bones. And you could be wrong. He might be telling you the truth, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
You have to listen to your body because your body knows, really. Right. Your body doesn't lie to you. You know, if you've got, if those little hairs on the back of your neck are standing up or in your bullshit meter's going off, all we have in life is our own gut. And we have to listen to that.
Yeah.
So then
and
you'll know
unlike
more.
All the other things that have had my head spinning for the last 6 months or so,
yes.
This is something I can actually do something about personally.
Is this another session, Todd?
Glad we talked.
Do we have more to talk about the last 6 months?
No.
Can I talk to you about the last month of my life and maybe you
oh
can?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No. It's all good. It's boring.
No, when I say the last 6 months, I'm not talking about personal stuff. I'm talking about the world stage.
Yes. It's affecting everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And this is something that is kind of reflective of all of that. And you actually can do something about it.
Right.
And you can, you know, contain it in your world and decide what you want to do about it. So it'd probably be good for you to do it. It'd probably feel good.
Yeah.
You know,
on one level or the other.
A little tiny sense of power. A little tiny shred.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thanks for helping me through it.
Okay.
This is good.
This is what I do. And if you are out there looking for coaching, you can find me at www.sophievenable.com. And you can find me on Facebook and I have coaching packages and couples coaching packages, and I have a really cool course called Finding the Real Deal. If you are a single woman and frustrated in your dating life, check it out because it's pretty cool. So thank you for being here, Todd.
Thanks for having me.
And actually, this is Sophie Venable. This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect, just make it fabulous.
Oh, yeah. You almost forgot the tagline.
Almost forgot it.